Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials Podcast, we're doing a Zillennials dinner party where we're going to be talking about different recipes that we both cooked. And we cooked the same recipe for this one. We both cooked the same one, and we cooked it from Liam Charles's Cheeky Treats. So, Liam, do you want to talk a little bit about why we picked this cookbook in particular?
Well, when I visited you in Kentucky, which I think was now about 5 years ago, which is wild, we watched some Bake Off seasons. Actually, I think it was just one. And it was the one that Liam was on. And we both decided that he was either our favorite or one of our favorites. I know he was my favorite for that season. And then I got you the cookbook for, I think, your birthday. And then I got one too. And we were talking about how we should finally bake something from it.
Yes. So previous to this, had you baked anything from his cookbook yet?
I don't think I had, because it was a European cookbook that was not published for America, because sometimes they redo them for us Americans who don't understand the grams and things that are in the other cookbooks. So I was too lazy to do the math, so I hadn't cooked anything. But for Christmas, I got a scale. And then I realized I don't have to convert anything anymore. I think that's when I suggested that we should use this cookbook.
Honestly, a scale sounds life-changing. I feel like I should get one in my kitchen because you can be so precise. You can be like, this is the exact amount. Whereas in cups and whatnot, it's like you're not exact.
It also makes it faster because you're kind of just chucking a little of this in, chucking a little of that in until you hit the number that you need. So I found it faster than when you're measuring and scooping and leveling and all of that.
Mm-hmm. I could totally see that. Yeah, that makes sense. So I know that you mentioned that Liam was your favorite. He was also my favorite. He's just like such a fun character, like a TV personality. I just really enjoy him. I had made something from this cookbook previously. I think I made the Oreo cake. I think I made it for my younger brother's birthday a couple years back. Maybe when you first gave me the cookbook, because I was like, I have this cookbook and he's such a good baker and I need to make something from it. And I remember, like, at the time, I definitely did not check to see how much it served. And there are only like a couple of us in my family. And we had like cake for 2 weeks. Like, we had cake from his birthday to my birthday, because it was so much cake, but it was delicious.
So for your birthday, did you get a new cake, or were you just still eating the leftover cake?
I don't even think I wanted a cake on my birthday. I think at that point we were all sick of cake to the extent that we were like, I do not want a cake. Do not make me anything. We have had this cake for like a week now.
I noticed that too when I was looking through the recipe book to pick recipes for this dinner party. And I was like, these cakes look super awesome. They're super over the top. And then I look at the servings and it says serve 16 to 20 or something like that. And I was like, I don't know 16 to 20 people.
Exactly. I'm like, it's great for if you're having a big family gathering and everybody there is going to eat it. But I'm like, if you're just having like a casual get together with friends, because I don't know. I feel like when I have a casual get together with friends, I usually only invite people who are like my really close friends, you know, where it's like, I'm going to invite maybe like 5 to 10 people rather than like 20 people. I know that there are definitely people out there who do that, but I'm just not one of those people.
I was doing the math as well. I think we usually top out around 9, 10-ish amount of people. So that's still a lot of leftover cake.
I know. And that's assuming that everybody has a piece too, because you know there are going to be some people who are like, I don't want a piece. I'm good.
I would just be like, if you're coming, you have to, because this serves 24 people and there's only 10 of us.
Yes. Speaking of cookbooks, my roommate Katya, she was visiting last weekend. And she and I think when we were living together in Kentucky, she and I had talked about doing a bake-off. And so we decided to set a date for it. It's officially going to be in October, I believe, because I was like, I have crazy summer. And she was like, yeah, I don't really want to do it beginning of fall. And so October is when we're going to be doing this bake-off. And it's going to be a cookie bake-off. And it's just give your best cookie and see who wins. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to cook cookies, and then we're going to give them to our boyfriends, and they have to be the judges on, like, presentation, taste, all that. But I was looking at this cookbook, and I was like, there's a cookie in there that I feel like would be a really good one. I don't know about if it's the perfect one for my audience, if you will, but it's this lemon zinger cookie, and I was like, ooh, it looks so good. It looks so delicious. So I might make that.
I think I saw that one. It looks good. A lot of the stuff in that cookbook looks good. So did we say what we made?
No, I think we've just been chatting about cooking.
Okay. Well, we made the sweet potato pumpkin curry, which according to my notes, I think is on page 60 if you have the cookbook. And also the mega chalky cupcakes, which should be on or around page 35.
Precisely. So how'd it go?
I think both of the recipes were their own versions of a hot mess. Not necessarily because of his recipe, but more because of, like, my own user error.
Which one do you feel like was more of a hot mess? Because I definitely have one of the two that I feel like was more of a hot mess for me.
The chocolate cupcakes were a hot mess disaster. It looked like the kitchen was like a chocolate bar murder scene. It was just chocolate everywhere. And then I felt like everything made too much. Like the filling and the frosting looked like it could have frosted like 75 cupcakes.
Yes. So that's something that I've noticed about his baking recipes. He's very, very generous with what he makes for his like cupcakes and for his sweets. Like you never have to worry about running out of frosting. You will not run out of frosting. He's very generous in his portions for what he thinks you might need.
I think I have had that concern sometimes when I bake things, like, what if there's not enough frosting? So who knows? Maybe he had a similar experience once and now just make sure that you have enough. But when I was finished frosting the cupcakes, I swear there was still like 5 cups of frosting left.
Yeah, I think when I was finished, I want to say I had like roughly 2 cups or so left, at least 2 cups or so. And then also for that stuff that you're supposed to pipe like in the cupcake, because I tried making that too. I also had like a whole bowl of that left, which that was a whole mess in and of itself. I totally agree with you that the chocolate cupcakes were much more of a hot mess compared to the pumpkin curry.
So what was your hot mess with the filling?
Where do I even start? There was a lot. And again, I don't think this is on his cookbook. I think this is more so like on me. So first, I'm generally not entirely sure that I converted everything correctly because I always felt like I was like, this feels off. I don't know why, but this feels off. And then two, when I was making the cupcakes, and if you're someone in my family, just don't listen to this part. Ignore it. But when I was making the cupcakes, we realized that we didn't have any instant coffee, so we just threw normal coffee grounds in there, and we were like, it'll be fine. Well, they all sunk to the bottom of the cupcake, and like, you could tell, but like, nobody in my family said anything about it. They were like, oh my gosh, these are so good. And I was like, no, they're not. I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever baked in my whole life.
Okay, I said that about my cupcakes too before I fed them to my family, and the family was all like, they're great. So I think I'm also a harsh critic of myself. But back to your coffee thing. You were supposed to just throw the grounds in. I thought you were supposed to like brew it and then add that.
No. So you're supposed to use instant coffee, and instant coffee you keep the grounds in. And I looked it up because I was like, we don't have instant coffee in my household right now. So I was like, what am I to do? And they were like, well, you can brew just like normal coffee and then throw the normal coffee in, but you shouldn't do that because then it's not the same like strength, I guess. And so I was like, well, what if I put this coffee in and then it doesn't work? And so like I was totally spiraling. It was awful. Long was there helping me like with the cupcakes. And he was like, you just need to make a decision. And I was like, I guess we're just going to put the coffee grounds in there anyways. I was like, it's not instant, but like, how different is instant coffee from not instant coffee? So I was like, we're just gonna do it. It was a mess.
So mine was, I've seen recipes where you actually brew the coffee and like you add the liquid coffee. So clearly I didn't read very carefully or something because I thought that's what you're supposed to do. But I don't drink coffee. So I was too lazy to brew coffee just for this recipe. We also do not have instant coffee, but Kyle had made a pot of blueberry coffee that morning. So I just stole some of his blueberry coffee and put it in.
Was there a hint of blueberry in the cupcake?
You know, mildly, I think there was in some bites. So who knows? It worked. The cupcakes turned out fine, like structurally. So I guess it was okay. But yeah, I guess we both had coffee issues.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've never had issue with putting coffee in a recipe before, but that I guess is always because I must have had some instant coffee. Because we were like, oh, I think there's like a can of Folgers or something around. No, there was nothing. It was only like this coffee from Colorado that we'd gotten last Christmas that was, yeah. So we were like, I guess we'll just brew it and put it in. And I don't know, I guess we'll see what happens. It was bad. Do not put not instant coffee in your cupcakes. 10 out of 10, a regret.
Are either of you coffee drinkers?
Long will sometimes have coffee if he's working nights or like working overnight or when he's working like odd hours. So that's why we have coffee, is because he's like, I kind of need caffeine and Monster energy drinks are probably not good for me all the time. He's like, coffee would probably be a better alternative. So that's why we have some coffee. He's like, I don't think he particularly likes it. I think he just drinks it because he's like, I need the caffeine.
That's fair. That's kind of like me during final season where I'm like, I'm drinking this because it does good things. It keeps me awake.
Oh, yeah. So that was one issue. There's more. So other issues. One, I was super concerned about the frosting. I was like, because I had to leave some of them out of the fridge. And I was super concerned about the frosting being okay because it has milk in it. But it was okay. It seemed like it was not that much of an issue. I think it's because like when you whip it with the butter and the sugar. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, my frosting issue is I don't think there was enough milk in it because I put the required amount of milk and it was like trying to stir cement. And so I just added more milk.
I think I did that too. I think it weirdly required much more milk than I thought it would, which is why I think I was so concerned, is because I was like, I've put like a half cup of milk into this. And like, am I able to leave that out for a couple hours or is it going to spoil and then I'm going to get everybody sick?
Yeah, I think it only required for like, I swear, like a few tablespoons or something ridiculously low for the amount of, and I didn't even add the full amount of powdered sugar because I was like, there's just too much going on right now. Like, this is not going to fit in the bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And we're already putting in like way too much milk. I mean, not too much because it was the right consistency, but just way more than it called for.
Yes. I also feel like the frosting was extra dark. Like, it was super dark chocolate, which I feel like was interesting because whenever I've made chocolate frosting before, I feel like I'm always relatively light on the chocolate. Like, my chocolate frosting always turns out like a light brown. So I guess maybe I just needed to be extra heavy-handed with my chocolate or like my cocoa powder to make it a true chocolate frosting. But I never really got to that point. I think I was always kind of scared. Not for this time, but previous.
So what's next on your list of hot messes? I know we talked about two.
The third one. Did you try to make that little frosting that goes on the inside?
Yes.
How did it go for you?
Well, here's the thing. I heated it up in the microwave because I was like, I don't want to set up a double boiling thing as being lazy. So it melted fine. It did its thing. But then my dumb self added cold milk to it. So it all just like seized up and froze. And so then I ended up doing the double boiler thing anyway to like remelt it. And then I added like the cream and whatever extra stuff. But it turned out fine after it remelted. It might have been a little like gritty because of the weird melt freeze melt again situation, but it turned out generally okay. I think it tasted good, but like we said before, too much.
Yeah, I could see that. I know that I had like a massive bowl of it left over. What happened with mine though was, I don't know if it was just user error or measurement error, but mine like would not get thicker. Like mine was just super super liquidy, and so I think I added more like chocolate. I think I tried a couple other things, but I was like, why is this so liquidy? Like, it was so liquidy to the point where I could not pipe it in. Like, I had to stick it in the freezer or stick it in the fridge so it would become kind of a solid and then I could pipe it in. Was yours like that? Or did I definitely mismeasure?
No, I kind of forgot about that. When it was on the stove and it was super liquidy, I was like, okay, maybe it just has to cool and thicken up, because things do that a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I was on a time crunch, if I was just impatient. It was also kind of hot, so I just stuck it in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it thickened up a little bit, so I could, like, kind of spoon it in. But I feel like in his picture, he could, like, pipe it in.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, I feel like I had to go through many periods of adjustment to even get it to something that I could pipe in. So I didn't know if it was just user error or what was going on, because I was like, in his picture, it looked really good. It looked like super thick. I was like, it looks like frosting almost. Did not work out that way for me. However, I will say, it was kind of fun to like do the piping thing and then also try to put the little chocolates in. Did you try to put the chocolates in?
I didn't, because I didn't buy any.
So for those of you listening, he had Ferrero Rochers. Rocher? Rocher? How do you pronounce it?
I say Rocher, but there's no guarantee that's how you pronounce it.
We'll go with that. The Ferrero Rochers, and he like put them in the center of his cupcakes. Well, let me tell you, I think this picture was staged. And he like chopped it in half and then chopped the Ferrero Rocher in half and then like put it in. Because one, I did not bake it into my cupcakes because I was like, then it's going to be like an ooey gooey mess in the middle. And his looks really nice. It looks like he put it in there when it was cold. So I was like, okay, I'm going to wait for my cupcakes to cool. I'm going to put it in there. I tried to just like, you know, press it in. My whole cupcake fell apart. It was like halved. I was like, oh no. So then what I started to do was I started to take a spoon and I would spoon out the top and then I would put it in. And then if I had any extra space, I could put the top back on. But most of the time I just put it in and then I just frosted over the top. But it was kind of a mess. It was fun, but it was also like, oh my goodness, this is more complicated than it should be. Next time, maybe I'll just throw them in the cupcake and cross my fingers and hope for the best.
Okay, so the recipe recommends you use a cupcake core thing or like an apple core to get the center of the cupcake out before you fill it and stuff, which I didn't have, so I just used a knife, but that got real messy. And then I had the same thing where I filled it with a ganache-like thing in the middle. And then I wanted to put the top back on because I thought it would frost better if it was like sealed up with cupcake. But there wasn't necessarily room for the top to go back on. So some of it, I just cut the little coney, pointy part of the cone off and then just stuck the top like a little button on. And then other ones, I was just like, eh, forget it. And I just like tried to put the frosting on top of it. But yeah. I don't know, this was a project.
I think that you read the recipe better than I did in that regards, because I definitely did not do that for the ones that had the stuff in the middle. I definitely just stuffed a piping bag with it and I just stuck it right into the middle of my cupcake and was like, put in so much, as much as you can without it exploding, and that'll be good.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to cut some of it out. I mean, I don't know what else you would be using the apple core for, so that's what I assumed.
You're probably right. So how was the rest of your recipe? Did you have any other mishaps? I feel like we've talked about several, but was there anything else that happened?
I think most of the mishaps I had were either the same or very similar to yours. I think to talk about the overall taste, it promised chocolate and it was very chocolatey. I like chocolate. Like, it's okay. I'm not like a super chocolate fan, so I feel like it was a little chocolate on chocolate on chocolate. But I fed it to my family and there's some people who love chocolate and they were super into it. So I think it's like a flavor thing.
Yeah, I think it was really good. I liked it. Felt like it was very rich, which is something that I appreciate, because sometimes if you have a dessert that's not super rich, then you want like another one of that dessert. With this one, it was like you could have one and you could feel satisfied.
Yes, I agree. I think it was fine, great, good. Fine. That doesn't sound like a glowing endorsement. But I thought it tasted the way it was supposed to. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't, like, it delivered on the flavor department. I just think, I don't know if this is because I, like, don't really like baking in general. I don't know if it was the recipe, but the process to get there was a little rough.
Yes. I think, I don't know that I would make this recipe again, to be completely honest with you. While it was pretty good, I would maybe make the frosting again. The frosting I thought was pretty good. I liked that it was a very dark frosting. But the recipe itself, I think I would maybe opt for a different recipe. And maybe it's just because I am but a novice baker, but I felt like it was a little complicated and harder to approach.
I agree. It was, I think, the first time I've actually filled a cupcake as well. So I just thought it was a lot to make the cupcake, make a frosting, and make something to fill it.
Yes, I think that all of his recipes, though, are very much like intense. This is going to be something very special, especially when it comes to the like sweets baking department. Like, I feel like the other recipe we did was not as much intense compared to this recipe. This recipe was very intense.
I agree. I think especially like the cakes and cupcakes are very much special occasion treats. Like, you're not just going to be able to whip them up in a couple hours and call it a day. So if there's anything special that you want to like try out a fancier recipe, you could try this. I will warn you, I did say to Kyle when I was making mine, I was like, mine look a little more nailed it than bake. Mine look a little more nailed it than Bake Off, but they were edible.
I love that. I love that comparison too. So when we were decorating ours, because I think we brought them to Easter for my family. So when we were decorating ours, it was really fun because I taught Long how to decorate a cupcake because he's never like done like, you know, the piping decorating. So we made like ones that look like flowers and we made ones that look like the cute little swirl. It was very fun. Granted, I think that like you or like yours, ours were definitely not Bake Off quality, but it was a lot of fun and it was really good. And I think for some of them, we just took the Ferrero Rocher and we just pressed it in the middle of the cupcake and we did petals around it like a flower. We were like, it's good.
That's really cute. I mean, you took it a step above me. You used the piping bag. I was too lazy at that point to deal with the piping bag. So I just took a knife and just kind of blobbed it on top.
I think we made most of the stuff like the day before. But I do remember this recipe was much more intense than I thought it would be. And it took a lot more time. And I think I had to go shopping for ingredients like two or three times for this because I'd be like, oh, I didn't know I needed that. Ooh. That's user error, though.
So, I don't know. I wouldn't say a fun experience because I don't think I have fun when I bake, but it was an experience.
I would say this is probably one of my least fun baking experiences, which says a lot because I do like to bake. But I think that part of it was due to, like, the converting over the units and, like, not entirely being sure if what I was doing was correct and things like that, and also just not having all of the things I needed, like, I think what really just got my goat was that we didn't have instant coffee. Like, for that reason alone, I'm like, I don't know if I'd make it again unless I can guarantee I have it.
This isn't a Liam thing because, as you know, if you've listened to other episodes, I just don't enjoy baking in general. But I remember when, well, a couple funny anecdotes. One is when I started, I said to Kyle, I was like, just so you know, I'm probably going to start cursing and say how much I hate this in about 30 to 45 minutes. And then when I put them in the oven, I had texted you where I was like, I just made the cupcakes. And now I remember why I don't like baking.
You did.
And the third thing is that that's the day that my vegan plant-based baking cookbook arrived. I was like, this is not the day for this to come.
That is too funny.
So yeah. I was like, I am considering returning this because I think I hate baking.
That is definitely fair. I usually like baking. I think this one was just more stressful because it had more moving components. It was a good recipe, just a little more stressful.
I think this recipe is great for people who like baking, have been baking for a bit and want to kind of like elevate their basic cupcake. I think it could be a fun experience. I think I am more simplistic, like a basic cookie or like just a cupcake with frosting is kind of more my vibe.
I could see that. Yeah, I definitely think it's one of those like elevated baking experiences, like you said. So how did the other one go? How did the pumpkin curry go?
I think this pumpkin curry, it was actually pretty good. The only kind of hot mess aspect of it was he wants you to make this crust topping thing because you bake it in like a baking dish. And I didn't feel like making a pie crust type thing. I think it was just too hot and I didn't want to deal with it. And so I was like, oh, I'll just buy one when I get to the store. It'll be fine. I forgot it. And so I just was like, whatever. And I ate it out of a bowl like chili.
Honestly, fair. I feel like one of the things I liked about this recipe was it felt more like you could customize it. And I don't know if it's just because I cook more frequently than I bake. But did you also feel that way? Well, like you could go and you could customize this recipe a little bit more to your liking?
I think that has a lot to do with the baking versus cooking aspect. I think cooking, almost anything can be substituted when you're cooking. But if you're baking, you can't just all of a sudden throw in almond flour when it calls for regular flour, because you're going to change the whole recipe. But for example, I think both of us substituted sweet potato instead of pumpkin. And that's not going to change anything in terms of the composition. I did it because I don't know where you're going to find not canned pumpkin this time of year. So I didn't want to deal with that. And so I just used a sweet potato.
I feel like that's definitely fair. It is one of those things where you'd have to find your own pumpkin. You'd have to like peel the pumpkin and cube the pumpkin. Or you can also get like a squash. But I don't know. Just personally, I like sweet potato way better than pumpkin or squash. And so that's why I swapped it for sweet potato.
For me, I think I forgot some other ingredient too, so I just didn't add it. I can't remember what it is. Oh, I know he had some sort of spice blend that he called for, and I was like, I don't know what that is. So I just added my own, like, kind of regular, like, chili powder, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah! I remember looking at the recipe, and it literally just says, blended spices. And I was like, sir, what kind of spices? You could have, like, so many different kinds of spices. Do you mean like cumin, turmeric, etc.? Do you mean like basil, parsley, Italian spices? I was like, I do not understand what you mean. So I think I just went with the route of, we're going to go with he meant Italian spices, and I put Italian spices in because we had an Italian spice blend, and it actually turned out well.
Interesting. So since it was curry, I was thinking more like cumin, chili powder, paprika, whatever that root was. I also think I used a bit of the, you know, the Oshi Glow's 9-spice mix. I had some of that pre-made. I was like, this seems like it'd be curry-like, so I threw some of that in, but I did not know what spice blend meant. I don't know if it's like a British thing that you can go to the store and there's just a bottle labeled spice mix.
Yeah, I have no idea. I think it was maybe like, it could have been a little bit clearer. I definitely just went with the Italian spice blend because I'm like, that's the only one that I can think of that comes, like, generally speaking, all blended together. So I was like, maybe he meant this one because that's the only one I can think of where they're all together and you've got a ton of different spices in one, unless you have one that's specifically labeled like taco or like fajita or etc. So that's why I went with the Italian one, and it turned out okay. I was pretty happy with it.
I think that also goes to the customization. You can kind of throw whatever spices you want in.
You definitely can. Did you make any other changes in your recipe?
Not that I remember.
I changed like so many things. So first, I omitted the olives.
Oh, yeah, I did too.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was kind of weird.
Yeah, I was just like, I know that the olives probably would have given it more like a vinegary, spicy, like salty flavor. Spicy. No, more like vinegar and salt. But like, I'm not the biggest fan of olives. Like, I can tolerate them if they're in something. Like, I'll live, but I wouldn't go out of my way to get them.
I mean, I kind of like them. I think there's, like, definitely if you get the ratio off, it could be like, ugh, there's too many. So that wasn't really my problem. My problem was I just thought it would be a weird thing to have in a curry. Like, I think olives more like Greek salad.
Yeah, that makes more sense to me, too. Other ones? I meant to pick up pinto beans, but then when I got home, I was like, oh, shoot, I didn't pick up pinto beans. And I was like, well, I guess we're putting in garbanzo beans. And so since I took out the olives, I just put in a whole can of chickpeas because I was like, eh, it's like a half cup. Like, it'll be fine. And it was. It worked out well. For the spicy pepper, apparently he wanted you to add a scotch bonnet. Did you find a scotch bonnet?
I didn't. I think I just added a habanero.
Yes. So we bought habaneros, we were going to put in habaneros, forgot to put them in. It was still plenty spicy though. But the other day, Long was looking at the Scoville scale of peppers, which I guess tells you how hot it is. A habanero is like 75,000 on the Scoville scale. A Scotch bonnet is like 200,000.
I heard they're pretty intense.
I'd never heard of it before, and I was like, that would have made it so spicy. So if you like spice, this is the recipe for you.
Yeah, I know you have to be careful when you use those, because then if you don't wear like gloves or whatever and then like you touch your eye or something, not a fun time.
Yeah, I would believe that. I really liked the recipe, though. The crust was good, but also felt like a heart attack's worth of butter. Like, there was so much butter.
Did you use lard or did you just use butter?
I just used butter because I was like, oh, shoot, I forgot to pick up lard because I was going to get, like, some Crisco or something because I was like, that's, like, a close to lard.
Lard's from a pig and Crisco's from vegetables, so I'm not sure. But they both make crust. That's what I do know.
But yeah, I just put in butter because I was like, I don't have lard and I'm not about to go get lard. I was like, it'll be fine. So that's kind of what I did for the crust. It was good, though. It turned out well. I decorated mine with a turtle.
I saw that.
Maybe I'll even post the pictures to our Instagram if I'm feeling real confident.
I like your pie crust turtle. It was very cute.
It was fun. I did like that. That was my favorite part, was that you got to decorate the pie crust.
I liked this curry a lot better. The experience was better. There were some things I forgot or had to mix up and change, but it was less stressful than the cupcakes. I feel like I was stressed when I made the cupcakes.
See, I thought I was going to be super stressed when I made this, and I thought for the cupcakes, I was going to be like, oh, I've got this.
Yeah.
It was totally the opposite. For this one, I was like, this one was so much easier. The cupcakes were so much more difficult. So definitely was not what I expected from either one of them.
Yeah. I think also with the cupcakes is, like I said, chocolate was just starting to get everywhere. And with Ella, cats can't eat chocolate. So it was also like a concern that she'd be like, what's that? Let me like lick this brown spot on the floor. So it was also kind of stressful because I'm just like, where's the chocolate? What do I need to wipe up?
Keep Ella away.
Yeah. That was me though, because I was like literally a hot mess. Like there was a mess everywhere. And it was very hot in the kitchen.
Totally fair. Totally fair.
I think that's the thing too, is that these, especially the cupcakes, are like a big baking project. I think summer is just not the time to do it.
Yeah, I feel like it's hard to do. Okay, I feel like it's hard to do anything that's not like cooked in a pan in the summer. Like even for the curry one, because you're supposed to cook it in a big dish. Like even for that, I was like, that's a little hard for me to do because it's summertime. So I think next time, 2020 hindsight, we got to pick stuff that's like stovetop only or like a cold thing, because I think we'll be much happier for it.
So overall thoughts, chocolate cupcakes tasted good. Way too much frosting, way too much filling. I would suggest personally, because I'm not like super chocolate on chocolate, fill it with like raspberry or peanut butter or something like that just to switch up the flavors. Good recipe too if you could figure out the weird ratio things. Also, if you could get someone else to make it, then you can just do the enjoying. The curry I liked. I have a lot of curry recipes, so I don't know if I would go back and make it. But I liked it. Less stressful experience. And I think for me, the curry won.
I agree with pretty much everything that you said, so I'm not going to repeat it. But one thing I did think about the curry was, I felt like it would be a great recipe to bring if you are having a family gathering and you don't necessarily want to make something with a ton of meat to bring, but you want to bring something that's more like main course or filling. I thought this would be a great thing to bring.
I agree. So would you consider making other things from this cookbook, savory or sweet, based on these experiences?
Yes, I would still consider it. I still want to make those lemon zinger cookies. It's on my list. And then also they have this garlic like pull apart bread that's supposed to look, it looks so good. I feel like maybe we might have to make that a thing for one of our future episodes because it does not look that hard and it looks so good.
So if you're interested in seeing how garlic pull apart bread turns out, tune into a future dinner party. See if we're right. See if we think it's an easier, more fun experience.
So to close out this Zillennials dinner party, I thought it would be kind of fun to talk about what's in your fridge, aka tell us a little bit about meals or things that you've had on rotation recently, because I feel like we all go through phases where like, I'm making a ton of this one thing, and then you're like, I will not touch that for another 2 years.
Yeah, I can get behind that because I make a recipe, really like it, all I want to eat. And then you're just like, I ate too much of that. I think I haven't been eating the best. So in the last couple weeks, I've really tried to get back on track. So these aren't necessarily on repeat, but I did make a four bean salad the other day.
Ooh.
And it was really good. It was super filling because beans are basically all protein. I mean, there's other stuff in them, but there's a lot of protein in it. So it felt very filling and it was great for summer, like you said, because there was no cooking. All you had to do was like steam the green beans for a little bit. And I brought that to work for lunch and I'm considering making it again because it was super easy. All you do is like chuck the beans in a bowl with vinaigrette and you're basically done. So it's a great summer recipe. And I think I'll probably make that again.
That sounds good.
So what have you been loving making?
Well, I feel like I've been making things with lots of chickpeas lately. Eggs and tomato, as usual. I have it like every weekend. It's like my weekend go-to meal for breakfast. I feel like I've been having more like brats than usual. And then I've also really been enjoying, I have this arugula and citrus salad that is so good. I honestly might put it on our list for our next dinner party if we don't have something planned, because it's like, I went out to eat once and they had this arugula salad and I was like, that is so good. I am going to make this at home. And I have started making it at home. Other things that have been on my list, Greek yogurt and honey. I like to do that as like a little dessert. It's like a very nice, like, it's just lightly sweet, high protein dessert. Very good.
I saw this recipe for like frozen yogurt bars. So it's like you do the frozen yogurt and then you put like mixed berries on top. And then you put it on like a base of like oatmeal and I don't know, like ground flax, healthy stuff, like ground flax seeds, stuff like that is your base. And then you freeze it. And so it's like a nice breakfast or like snack treat in the summer. So I really want to try that.
That sounds really good. Do you know what else I've also seen is like for healthy desserts? I've seen people take like Greek yogurt and mix in like chopped up strawberries. And then they put in like a little clump and then they freeze it and then they dip it in like dark chocolate and then they freeze it again. And then it's like a healthy ice cream bar. And I'm like, that looks really good. I would definitely eat that. That is dangerous.
That sounds good. My thing about these freezer recipes is like, you have to have space in your freezer to put a sheet of something. So it requires a little planning.
That is true. One day I'd like to be able to have two fridges. Or like a fridge and a separate freezer would be super nice. Because I don't really think I need like two fridges, but I like a fridge and an extra freezer would be awesome.
I think Mark and I were talking once and we're like, how do we know that we made it? And we determined when you have a second fridge.
That's so true though.
Yeah, you're like, I've made it in life.
Definitely. But yeah, that's what's in my fridge. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we go?
I don't know. I've been doing a lot of overnight oats. Not super exciting in terms of podcasting content, but it's easy and it's quick. So, been eating a lot of those for breakfast.
Oshi Glows has great overnight oats. I love her overnight oats recipes.
I use her base, but I've just been too lazy to make toppings for it. So that's why mine isn't very exciting.
I don't know. I usually don't make toppings for mine either, but I always like, she puts like a mashed banana in her overnight oats and it makes it so nice and sweet. I'm like, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, that's what I've been eating a lot of.
I can see that. Oh, and then speaking of cookbooks, the other day we went and we got Nick DiGiovanni's cookbook from Target, but he's a YouTuber who was on MasterChef. So if you decide that we want to keep going with this cookbook thing, let me know. I can maybe help you out with finding some recipes and we can try some out from there.
I've never heard of him. Apparently he's 27.
Yeah, he's like our age. My boyfriend really likes his cooking videos because he's always trying to do crazy things and like break world records and just seems like he has a good time with it. Well, thank you for joining us. Our next book club episode is going to be Spin the Dawn by Elizabeth Lim and that will be dropping on August 7th.
We hope you enjoyed this dinner party. We'd love to hear your thoughts if you've made any of these recipes. Tell us how your chocolate cupcakes went, if they went a little smoother than ours. And you can send your thoughts over to zillennialspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @zillennialspodcast. And don't forget to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.